We have 11 amazing restaurants featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day, plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups. Or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your South of the Border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
Hi, I'm Kurt Angle.
I represented the United States in the Olympics in 1996 and won a gold medal. Then I parlayed that into a pro wrestling career.
I saw a commercial a few years ago.
Tunnel to Towers Foundation made a promise.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is paying off the mortgages for Gold Star families with young children. I thought, this is really cool. I want to be a part of it. My dad served in the Army for 30 years. We didn't have a lot of money, but he made sure we had what we needed. He set a great example for all of us. But he died in a construction accident my freshman year in high school. When he died, we didn't have any income coming in, and we ended up being forced to move out of our house. I was devastated. So I understand what these families are going through, and to have an organization like Tunnel to Towers come in and pick you up and carry you and give you a home to live in, I think that's just amazing. I'd like to ask you to donate $11 a month to support these efforts by going to t2t.org or calling 1-844-BRAVEST.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
Live from the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the race books and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning. Well, alrighty. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program. We come to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, right here at our studios. And that is, of course, the South Point Studios at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex in Las Vegas on Las Vegas Boulevard. And, of course, the South Point Studios streaming network at YouTube. We welcome you to the show. And we welcome all of those here in town, maybe running around early this morning, listening to us on our anchor radio station, Sports Talk 1400 AM, 107.1 FM as well. And, of course, our websites, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world, .global. Boy, we got a whole bunch of those dots. Anyhow, they're all on there. And, of course, your devices, got that covered for your Androids and your iPhones and your Google phones. Just go to your app store and you can put the KSHP app on there. You'll listen to us through the radio station on that one. And, of course, the app or YouTube, you can see and hear us there as well on your devices, anywhere you get your podcasting additionally. And who knows, maybe even if your gold tooth filling, don't know, but I'm happy. However, wherever, whenever you get us to the Race Day Show for this Saturday morning. Look, it's cold out here in Las Vegas. It's about 37, 38 degrees right now outside. We're going to get up into the low 60s today, but it's going to be clear. We have a little breeze going on, which makes the wind chill when you're walking through a parking lot a little bit cooler. But in any case, that's the weather here. But there's really some bad weather that's going through this country right now, and it's got to be affecting some racing across the country. As far as Southern California is concerned, it's nice and clear right now. There's no problem in Southern California. But you got all of that bad weather going through the Midwest and the South, and it's going to get to the East Coast by tomorrow. So we'll wait and see how the weather affects the racing around the country today. But hopefully it'll be fine at Colonial Downs, where we have the Virginia Derby and the Virginia Oaks today, although there are some scratches in those races. We'll get to that in just a moment. And, of course, some racing in Southern California as well. In studio with us, usually via satellite, but in studio with us this morning, John Lindo. Good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. Good to be out here.
You enjoying yourself here in Vegas?
It's not a hard ask for me. You don't have to twist my arm to come out to Las Vegas.
And it's going crazy behind us in the sports book with the conference championships going on now. They're getting down to the nitty gritty. The you know, end games are today, and of course the selection show for the NCAA college basketball tournament will be tomorrow, and then things will really be getting crazy. And, of course, we're on our way to the Kentucky Derby and the 100-pointers. Today is going to be the last time we have the 50-point races, 50 points for the Kentucky Derby leaderboard in the Oaks and the Derby, and then we get to the 100-pointers. But it's going to be a little tricky with the weather around the country.
Well, yeah, the one race that we have with points on the line today is at Colonial Downs. That's the Virginia Derby. It's a one-turn mile and an eighth. It's a, you know, kind of a different configuration. Reminds me of the old Belmont Park.
Yeah, it is. And there are some significant scratches in the those two races. Picked up these scratches. John, the Virginia Oaks?
Virginia Oaks, a mile and 16th, and that's one turn as well. Here are the scratches out of the Virginia Oaks. Goes as race number 8 today at Colonial Downs. Scratch number 3, Gowell's Delight, and number 7, Girl Math.
Those are two horses that our handicappers both liked, and two horses that, well, Gowell's Delight was the 3-1 morning line favorite. So I guess that falls to Fondly now, who is the second choice at 7-2 with Irad Ortiz Jr. But two, I believe, major scratches.
Important scratches, yeah.
In the Virginia Oaks. And then the Virginia Derby, which is the 9th race on the card.
Right. And we had the scratch earlier in the week at number 2, John Hancock. Mm-hmm. Number 1, Calling Card is out. And number 10, Georgia Magic is out. So the morning line favorite from the Bob Baffert stable, Getaway Car 9-5, Arad Ortiz.
Yeah, and those two other horses outside of John Hancock, those other two horses were long shots on the board in the Virginia Derby. So that was kind of like not a big deal for that. But John Hancock was the big one that happened the other day. But Getaway Car, this is a horse that I guess it could be like an old-fashioned hard-knocking horse. You know, this is the guy that comes to work with his lunch pail in his hand. And he's just the solid horse for Bob Baffert right now, Getaway Car is. And but I don't know, coming back off of that gut-wrenching, powerful, hard-knocking win in the Sunland Park race and the Sunland Park Derby and coming back this quick, what do you think?
Well, you know, when I saw him at Del Mar last summer, he's kind of a short, he does not your typical son of Curlin. He's not a big, strapping, heavy horse. He's kind of blocky. Mm-hmm. He looks like a sprinter. You know, he did win sprinting at Del Mar, and he has won around two turns, but he was all out to win that race at Sunland Park, and like you say, it was a taxing race. I think maybe the one turn is going to be okay for him. I still don't know about a mile and eighth for this horse.
Psychologically, it's one turn. It looks like a sprint, feels like a sprint, and maybe it can happen as a sprint for him, but maybe that's the reason why I took it there, because he knew the configuration.
I think so, yeah. You don't dull that speed around a second turn. You just let him rip and see how far he goes.
Yeah, no question. And we all know about California speed, so we would think that if they want it, they're going to get the lead in that race.
Well, Bob Baffert's known to put a horse on the lead once in a while.
Yes, he has. Irad Ortiz Jr. is going to ride him there today. Juan Hernandez, who rode him at Sunland Park in the Sunland Derby, decides to stay in Southern California.
Right. He stayed there. I don't think at the time of the entries, Gaming was going to run out there. So they had lined up, I think, a rad for that. Mm-hmm. And as opposed to switching up jockeys, when they switched the horses, they just left the jockey and put him on the other horse for the barn.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good there. That's a good move. I think that, because you can't, if Baffert gets to the Derby with three or four horses, Hernandez can't ride them all anyhow. So you might as well get some other jockeys used to the other horses that might make the Derby field. In any case, the bad weather is going through places like Mississippi, Alabama, right there in the South. And I mean, we're talking about tornadoes and all that stuff. So our thoughts go out to those folks, that's for sure. And of course, you know, Arkansas is right in the middle of all that stuff with Oaklawn Park. So I don't know what they're doing today at Oaklawn. I did check for cancellations just before we went on the air. And there are no cancellations as of this time. But like yesterday, there was, I believe, Remington Park in that part of the country was scratched. They took off. And the last couple of races at Turfway Park the other day were scratched, as well as the weather, that weather front was going through. So we'll wait and see what effects it has later on as far as that weather concerned. But it's, those are bad storms going through there.
Yeah, we'll just, again, we'll play it by ear as it goes. You know, it's winter racing, and it's an outdoor sport, so we just have to deal with the conditions and see what happens.
Well, we know that Gulfstream Park, Florida, is fine because, you know, when we look at the temperatures, they're 80 degrees.
Yeah, they'll be low 80s, and
man,
don't have to worry about that one today.
No. As far as New York is concerned, at Aqueduct today, it's going to be cold. It'll be 55 degrees. They're going to top out there in New York, but it looks like it'll be okay. We'll check with Jonathan Hardoon in just a bit. And, of course, Chicago, windy in 66, Phoenix, Arizona, 69, L.A., where there's going to be racing today at Santa Anita, nice 64 degrees. And here in Las Vegas, we're going to get up to around 65, 66. So those are the weather conditions so far. I want to remind everybody that Santa Anita will be running, making up a makeup card on Monday, which just happens to be St. Patrick's Day, which works out fine.
Right, you know, back in the old days, they used to put a little dye in the fountains, and the fountains would be having green fountains and a St. Pat's pitch and all kinds of Irish things going on.
Well, you know, you remember in the old days, St. Patrick's Day, whatever day it fell on was a holiday card there at Santa Anita, right. And they'd always have the Irish O'Brien Stakes that day. But since they didn't think they were going to run on St. Patrick's Day this year, the Irish O'Brien is actually Sunday.
Right, they're running it, but it's on Sunday, yeah, because they did not have a Monday card originally scheduled.
An interesting article, a very interesting article, came out yesterday in the Daily Racing Form, and it had had an interview with Damon Thayer. Now, Damon Thayer had his upbringing at the racetrack. I mean, ground level at the racetrack, okay? He worked backstretch. He worked in the racetrack management, et cetera. He worked his way up to the higher points in management and then advisory and many different racing organizations, and then he became, I believe it was a senator out of, or a congressman out of, he was voted a congressman, a politician anyhow, out of the state of Kentucky. He's done wonders in the state of Kentucky by helping politicians and helping the government there understand racing and what it takes for racing to be a very productive product and a growing, vibrant product in the state of Kentucky. And he is now an advisory board on another, you know, agency right now. But he had a very interesting column in the Daily Racing Form. You got to read it, folks, if you can, about the future of our business. And one of the things that just blew me off the page was when they asked him about HISA and whether it was HISA was good or not. And I wrote down this quote. He said, "To repeal it and replace it with something better." So he's not sold on HISA.
Well, again, he goes on in that interview with Matt Hegarty, who does a great job for Daily Racing Form. He said, "I don't want to call it a failure, but I think there are a couple areas that could have been handled better. The implementation was botched, and we've covered that."
Yeah.
And he says, "I think everyone agrees on that. It was rolled out not in a very good way. My concerns are in general with how it was dealt with due process, and specifically how it has dealt with environmental contaminants." And these are all things that keep rearing their heads.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they got to do something with that. Maybe not throw it all out, but maybe get in there and change it around a little. People like him who can give them the both sides of the situation. Damon Thayer is definitely somebody that we want in this business at the higher levels in government, that's for sure. And it was interesting when they got to the fact where they asked him about the future of racing because of this decoupling thing that's going on now.
Right.
And he was talking about with the decoupling that's going through the legislature right now at Gulfstream Park. And this is all stuff, folks, that's going to mean something to us, the horse players. And that's why I'm talking about it, because we will have the end result of some of these things that are going on. But he thinks that if the decoupling falls through and they don't get the decoupling, that the people who own Gulfstream Park, he said, it looks like the racing in Florida at Gulfstream Park might be coming to an end in a few years. It was his statement.
Right. Well, again, a quote from him, he said, the owners of Gulfstream Park are First Racing.
Yeah.
And quote from Damon, obviously First is not committed to horse racing in this country. They've closed down tracks in Michigan, Oregon, and California. Mm-hmm. They're getting out of Maryland. They clearly want out of Florida. So what's left? One of horse racing's most iconic tracks, and that's Santa Anita.
Ooh.
So that, you know, that, I think it's legitimate, and it's scary.
In the vernacular of horse racing, the past performance doesn't look good. As far as
I can read a form.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. So, and it was nice to see that he recognized it too. So we'll wait and see about that. But it's an interesting column, and you should read it. Anything else that you got out of that column that really raised your eyebrows?
Well, just the fact that, you know, he was able to get those historical horse racing machines in, which is why now the purses are what they are in Kentucky.
Yeah, right.
And he was talking about how it's so important for all the groups to work together to get to the final point.
Mm-hmm.
And he was stressing that is what has to be done. And they've asked him about California. You got to get everybody on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, they asked him questions. I thought it was very straightforward in the answers. Read the article. I think it's a pretty good update on where we stand right now as an industry and a nationwide and the problems we're dealing with.
And yeah, and I do believe that he is a part of a group that's heading up a group opposing that Florida bill or the decoupling bill there. So we'll wait and see about that. And boy, I mean, when you think to yourself, California next, California? I mean, somebody got to do something there, that's for sure. But we'll wait and see. It's not a fatality.
Well, the results haven't been declared official. Let's fight this thing,
yeah.
Yes.
Talking about declaring official, what the heck happened yesterday at Colonial Downs? They had a full field going in the Boston Handicap, but by the time they got the race to the starting gate, there were only three horses in the race. Now, one of them was Bookham Dano, who would have been the overwhelming favorite anyhow, but he was a ridiculous favorite at that point. He paid $260 to win. He won the race easily at Colonial Downs. This was a prep for the Godolphin Mile on the 5th of April, but Jonathan Ardoon was telling me something like there were eight horses entered in the race and only three ran?
There were 11 in the race.
11.
There were eight scratches out of that race. They saw Bookham Dano there and said, well, we're out of Dodge. We're gone. So, and Bookham Dano ran 7 furlongs, I think at 120.03. That'll give you an idea how quick that main track
that
is at Colonial.
Yeah, that track is very glib, but let's put it that way. That's for sure. All I got to say is the other side of all of this news that we're talking about, the good side of it is Oaklawn Park. Now, here's a place that's in a bad weather area, Arkansas, at this time of the year. And this is when they race their meet in the wintertime. But yet they are very much contemplating to go 4 days a week next year from the get-go. For their whole meet, they want to go 4 days a week for 2026. As we know, at the beginning of the meet this year and before, they started out with 3 days a week and 2 days a week, but now they want to go 4 days a week. And they've already expanded their racing menu, their racing dates a little bit earlier into December.
Right.
But, you know, they're looking at it and they're doing great business there.
Yeah, they used to begin in January.
Yeah.
And they would start immediately with 4 day weeks. And when they extended the meet to early December, really,
yeah.
They started out, we'll start it easy 3 days a week. But I think they're finding out, and you know, again, dealing with a circuit in California, 3 days a week, there's 4 days sitting in downtime. Yeah. What do you do?
Yeah.
And you don't want to lose the public or lose their interest. You want to have that action going on if you can.
Sure.
And you know, they have the horse population down there, I think, to run the extra
and
day.
And they have the purses down there.
Exactly. So
because of ulterior
yeah, they have the
revenue.
Casino there. Yeah,
right.
So I think they have the option to try it.
Well, I hope they do, and I hope the weather is a little bit better next winter as it is this winter so far there. Okay, those are a little bit of what's the topics of what's going on in racing. Now we got to get to the nitty-gritty for today's racing, but before we do, I want to just take a quick look at what happened yesterday. Gulfstream Park yesterday, Edgard Zayas had a couple of wins back-to-back, as a matter of fact. He won the fourth race for Carlos David at 460, came back in the fifth race for Ian Wilkes, and paid $720. John Velasquez also had a couple of winners. He won the sixth race for Gail Cox at $2,880. Came back in the eighth race for Rusty Arnold, paid $1,640. So those two jocks had a couple of wins apiece, and so did Dylan Davis. Dylan Davis won back-to-back in the second race for Mark Cassie at $420, and the third race for Kent Sweezy that paid $280. Those were the favorites earlier. But as far as the late pick five was concerned, 720, 2880, 3220, 1640. The final race, 760. It was Junior Alvarado for Bill Mott. You put all of those together, guess what the pick five paid at Gulfstream Park? How about a huge payoff yesterday? $29,948.55 for the late pick five at Gulfstream yesterday. Kind of refreshing there.
And that was only 10% as much as the day before, right?
Yeah.
They had a $296,000 pick five on Thursday.
Yeah, just a couple of those long shots gets the job done. As far as Aqueduct is concerned, Linda Rice, trainer Linda Rice, had a big day. She won three races. She had the first race winner with Kendrick Carmouche, which was Carmouche's first winner at 790. Carmouche came back with Linda Rice for their second win together in the fourth race, playing 760. Linda Rice won the seventh race for her guy, Jose Lascano, a filthy $2.80. And then she came back, and then Carmouche came back, I should say, in the third for his third win in the eighth race, paying $8.60 there at Aqueduct. Pick six paid a little under $1,700. Santa Anita yesterday, Frank Alvarado had a couple of wins. He won the first race at $3.40, came back in the fourth race for Tim McKenna, paying $8 even. And then, of course, Antonio Frasu won the last two races on the card. He won the eighth race aboard Fowler Blue, paying $51.80. This horse was a V-horse on Jerry J's Power Page and trained by Doug O'Neill. O'Neill and Frasu paying $51.80. That enabled the Coast to Coast Pick 5 last race to pay over $10,000, almost $11,000, $10,991.80. And then Frasu came back in the last race with Doug O'Neill again, those two together. They won the last race and paid $17.40. Nobody had the pick six.
No, $40,000 in the pick six pool. And if you watch that race of Fowler Blue,
oh,
Antonio Frasu was quarter horsing that horse from the gate. It took him a half mile to get to the lead, and he was parked wide. I kept waiting for the horse to stop.
I got to tell
you. And he just pulled away.
There were two races yesterday that left me kind of just double-taking and taking a look at the replay. That was one of them, where he was like in the back of the pack going wide, and then he just, like it was a sprint down the backstretch. He cleared the field, and then you thought, in the stretch, he was going to get caught.
Right.
He's a spent horse by then. He kept going.
Yeah.
And $51 at that. But the race before that, Excel Calculator, it was a one-mile race, you know, a mile race. Going down the backstretch, Excel Calculator wasn't last. He was last by a zip code from the rest of the field. Turning for home, you could see him starting to mount a charge. Then he went about eight wide. I mean, he could have picked up a hot dog at the hot dog stand at the top of the stretch. And then he came roaring down the stretch and won from way, way, way back. That horse paid $3.60. He was bet down in the last couple of minutes
right.
in the race. There was another horse as a favorite in there. This horse went down to 4-5. But, boy, they knew what they were thinking.
Well, the other horse, I think a Freedom Maker might have been his name, down
Freedom
on the inside.
Maker.
He got trapped, and he was blocked behind horses. And by the time he got out, Excel Calculator had all the momentum. It was a goofy race because I never saw this horse till about the eighth pole.
Yeah.
And here he comes. So who the heck is that?
Trevor might say, here he comes dropping out of the
dropped
clouds.
In at the eighth pole, yeah.
But in any case, those two races were interesting run races yesterday at Santa Anita. By the way, the Antonio Frasu, Doug O'Neill, $5 late double paid, $853. Oaklawn Park, big day for Oaklawn Park. Francisco Arrieta had five wins on the day, okay? His first win came in the fourth race at 1180 for trainer Abel Ramirez Rodriguez. Then he came back in the sixth race for his second winner, and Abel Ramirez Rodriguez's second win as well at 760. Then he won a race for Brad Cox, Arrieta did, in the seventh at 1140. Came back for Greg Compton for his fourth win, paying 540. And then he capped off the day by winning the 10th and final race for Ernie Witt the second, paying 1040. Big day for Arrieta. And by the way, Keith Asmussen and his father, Steve, teamed up for a couple of wins yesterday, winning the first and ninth races. And also, by the way, Peter Miller won a race yesterday at Oaklawn. Third race with Ramon Vasquez paying $7.80. Big day for Arrieta, though, at Oaklawn.
Yeah, he won five, and he looked good, and he won for Brad Cox, which is always a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, he's hitting the ball right now.
He had a variety of trainers, although I've never heard of the Abel Ramirez Rodriguez, but that guy had him on two winners yesterday. All right, that's what happened yesterday. We need to get started with today, and when we come back, we'll get you your racing menu and then off with our handicappers, Jonathan Ardoon, John Lindo, by me, And, of course, Jerry Jackowitz will get into giving a pick on the Virginia Derby and the Virginia Oaks and anything else they want to give us today. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you've still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
Back on Race Day Las Vegas. Time to get to your racing menu for today. Reminder, first post times are always Pacific because that's where we're at here in the Pacific time zone here in Las Vegas. These will be the first post times to roll out in our race book here at South Point today. If you're listening on the many different time zones around the world, tweak it, adjust it to your time zone, to the Pacific time zone, so you don't miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad, okay? Here we go. Here's the menu for today. We begin with Colonial Downs. Colonial Downs has a first post time of 9 a.m. today. 10 races. The two stakes races today are the Virginia Derby and the Virginia Oaks. First post time is at 9 a.m. at Colonial Downs today. Next up comes Tampa Bay Downs. Tampa Bay Downs has 9 races. Their first post time with a pick six jackpot carryover of $51,026 is set at 9:25. Tampa Bay, 9:25 for 9 races. Gulfstream Park has a dozen races today. A couple of stakes races at 100 grand. They are the Hutchison at 6 furlongs. That'll be the fourth race for 3-year-olds. Favorite in that race at 8-5 is Guns Loaded with Luis Saez. A couple of races later, the $100,000 Captiva Island Stakes at 5 furlongs on the turf, where Just a Care is the 8-5 favorite with Junior Alvarado. You got 12 races today at Gulfstream Park, and that carryover in their pick six jackpot swelled to $17,708, even with the mandatory tomorrow. First post time is at 9:50 at Gulfstream. Aqueduct, the big A in New York. Now at Aqueduct, they have 10 races today. Their first post time is 10:10, and they have their feature race is the Jimmy Wingfield. That's the fourth race on the card, the Jimmy Wingfield at 6 furlongs for 3-year-olds. And in that race, there'll be six going, no late scratches in that race. And the Jimmy Wingfield favorite is at T-Craft at 2-1. It's cloudy and 42 degrees, but it's fast, track fast at Aqueduct today, and a first post time there of 10:10. Oaklawn Park has 11 races today, if they go, because the nasty weather's going through there. We'll wait and see. Their feature race is the Grade 3 Whitmore. That'll be the 10th race on the card. 9 go to the post in that one. It's wide open affair, too. The morning line favorite is 7-2, and that's Tejano Twist. First post time at Oaklawn today is 10:30 for their 11-race card. Fairgrounds, New Orleans. Their first post time with a regular pick six carryover of $9,683 is set at 10:45. 10:45 at Fairgrounds. Then we go to Sunland Park. All quarter horses today, and they're all quarter horse trials at 300 yards for two-year-olds. 10 races of those. First post time at Sunland set at 11:25. Then we get to Santa Anita. Santa Anita's first post time today. Be aware, 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock's new post time there at Santa Anita for their 10 race card. Their feature race today at Santa Anita is the Santa Ana, a mile and a quarter, scheduled for the turf. We'll wait and see about that. Fillies and mares, 4-year-olds and up. 8 go to the post in that one. The favorite in that race at even money is Kathy Marissa with Frankie DeToro aboard. 10 races today at Santa Anita. First post time is at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Pick 6 carryover again today, $40,549. $40,549. All right, Turf Paradise, big day of racing there in Phoenix, Arizona. They've got 9 races. The first race is a quarter horse stakes race, then the next 8 thoroughbred races, and five of those will be stakes races. The Cotton Fitzsimmons at a mile on the turf will be the fifth. The Turf Paradise Derby will be the sixth. The Arizona Oaks will be the seventh. No Kentucky Derby or Oaks points there. The Queen of the Green on the turf will be the eighth. And the Phoenix Gold Cup, their traditional mainstay race, their marquee race, I should say, at 6 furlongs for three-year-olds and up, will be the ninth and final race on the card. And in that one, the 5-2 favorite is Redline. First post-time Turf Paradise is at 125 at Turf Paradise today. Pick six jackpot carry over there, $35,878. Turfway Park, their big pick six jackpot carryover today, $180,368. $180,368 is the pick six jackpot carryover at Turfway Park. 10 races. Their feature race today is the Queen Stakes. It'll be the sixth on the card at 6 furlongs, a full field of 11 there. A favorite in the race at 3-1 is Lith Spirit. First post-time Turfway Park is at 255. And then we got Charlestown. Charlestown has a first post time of 4 p.m. for their 8 races. Their pick 6 jackpot carryover, $49,892. And we'll wrap it up in Los Alamitos in Southern California, where they have 9 races, just one thoroughbred race, 5 quarter horse thoroughbred mixed races at 1,000 yards, and then you have 3 quarter horse races at the end of the card. Los Alamitos has a first post time today of 7.05 p.m. And that's the racing menu. Now time to bring in Jonathan Ardoon, who is waiting there anxiously to say something. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning, Ralph. Good morning, John. How you guys doing?
Well, we know we're doing better than you. You're a little bit under the weather, aren't you?
A little bit, but I'll be fine.
Okay.
Got to be a trooper. Got to show up and help. So here we are.
Well, let's go to Colonial Downs and get your thoughts about the Virginia Oaks and the Virginia Derby along with John Lindo.
Okay. Well, first of all, shame on Churchill or Colonial Downs, whoever you want to blame it on, but they knew they had a 3-day meet. You think they would have loaded it with stake races and make it really, you know, a lot of these short boutique meets, they load up with stake races and they make really great racing. The racing there thus far has been a total disaster. Small fields, a million scratches. Yesterday, the Bookham Dano race scratched from 11 to 3. I never saw 8 late scratches in a race. I mean, and the weather was fine. What was the excuse? And even today, they're loaded up with a bunch of late scratches. I just think they did a horrible job, personally.
Okay. But we do. That's your editorial. I don't even. I'll get into that Damon Thayer thing right now with you and just get it over with. That column in the Daily Race, I thought, was excellent.
It was. And it really, you know, it's exposing the problems that they have. And like John Lindo said, it's a little scary. And if you care about the game, you have a lot to be worried about.
All right. Well, let's get to some handicapping and trying to make some money on the racetracks and races and horses that are left anyhow. And we'll start with the Virginia Oaks.
Well, the Virginia Oaks, the horse that I really like, the 7-horse Girl Math, is now out. So that leaves the 4-horse Anomia, I don't know how to pronounce it. It's the 4-horse, the Kenny McPeak 3-year-old filly. She was listed at 6-1, but obviously the odds will be shorter after the late scratches. But that's who I like in there.
Anonima is the 4-horse. And yes, the morning line will definitely be cut in half probably there with those late scratches there. John, I know that you kind of like Girl Math as well, and so did Dwayne Carlucci on the show on Wednesday. He liked this horse in the race. So she had a lot of attention to her, 5-1 on the morning line. She wasn't going to be 5-1 because with all the attention she had. So how do you see this race now?
Well, the race changes a little bit because Gal's Delight, whatever it is, looked like the controlling speed, and there really isn't much pace in the race. I like number 1, Icona Mama, a little bit, but she comes from off the pace, and I'm just worried now with how the pace shapes up for her. But I'm not going to change at this point. I do think she's going to like a 1-turn mile on the 16th, and she was 8-1 on the program. I'm going to expect maybe 4 or 5 now after scratches, but Icona Mia for me in the 8th race today at Colonial.
All right, and that is John Velasquez riding there from the rail, 1-turn mile and 1/16, as well as the 9th race. The Virginia Derby, it's a 1-turn mile and 1/8 race for 3-year-olds. Now, an original field of 10 now scratched. Earlier in the week, they scratched a horse that would probably have been a horse that would abide with the Getaway Car for favoritism. John Hancock is out. And then additionally today, number one, calling card, and number 10, Georgia Magic are out, but they were long shots anyhow. How do you see this, Jonathan?
Well, this is one of my official radio plays, and I love the number 7 horse in here, Rapture, a 3-year-old colt from the Brad Cox barn, 2 career starts, and he ran very well in both of them. I think he's going to like that straight 1-turn mile and an eighth. Flavian Pratt takes the mount. Everyone was wondering why Pratt opted for Rapture over John Hancock. Well, I guess they knew that he was scratching. I really want to play against Getaway Carr. Take nothing away from him. He ran huge last time out, but the problem is I think he ran too huge. I think he has to react off of that effort, and he's going to be odds on in this field, I think, after the late scratches. So I like number 7, Rapture, to upset and win this year's Virginia Derby. Not that big of an upset, but it still is an upset.
Well, you know, like normally, I mean, under normal circumstances, when you see a horse that ran like, Getaway Car did in his last race, you as a handicapper expect what we call a bounce. But then we have the Bob Baffert, the equation in there. So I don't know what to do now, John.
Well, you know he's going to send a fit horse out, and he was a fit horse last time. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry regressing because maybe that's the reason. So if you like Getaway Car, he's not going to ship all the horse all the way across country unless he thinks he's got the right horse for the race. But I agree with John Hardoon. I think Rapture's the right horse. He ran well in a 1-turn mile at Gulfstream, won going 2 turns in his next start. I think back around 1 turn, he sits right outside a Getaway Car, and he'll test his horse down the stretch, and we'll find out how far Getaway Car really wants to run.
Well, we know Getaway Car is a fighter, whether he's tired or not. He's going to fight anyhow. And Flavian Pratt is riding for Brad Cox, so he's there at Colonial Downs today to ride Rapture. But I can say this, that, you know, Cox, like you said, like Jonathan, you said, he knew that he was going to scratch out John Hancock, so he sent Rapture there. And I guess Bob Baffert was penciled in gaming at one time for this horse, and that horse isn't making it.
Yeah, he had a little bit of a temperature last Saturday, so we'll see where and when he shows back up on the work tab. And John Hancock is being entered today for next Saturday's Louisiana Derby. Right.
So here we got it. We got the two main top trainers as far as Derby horses right now, and Brad Cox and Bob Baffert, who are bringing in what they call their Avis horses for this race. We'll wait and see what happens there. But it doesn't look like you can make much money in either race unless you can get maybe a long shot in there. And I'll give you guys a long shot for the Virginia Derby. Not so much to win the race, but I think the horse can hit the board and maybe get in to the exact as well if one of the two horses crack in what is expected to be a duel somewhere along the line during the running of this race. And that is the 4-horse Omaha Omaha. I think this horse has a good shot of making the board at a price to turn this payoff into something.
I will tell you one thing, Ralph. His last race at Aqueduct, the track was a complete conveyor belt that day. He had very little chance with his running style. He's a closer, and he had, you just couldn't pass a horse that day. So I agree with you. That horse certainly should be used somewhere.
Yeah, and that's the 4-horse in there. So you guys like the 7, Rapture, over the 6, Getaway Car, and the 4, Omaha Omaha. We'll try to get into the mix to make a little bit of an exotic happening. Well, I know you didn't do a Colonial Down sheet, Jonathan, but you have 4 of them. You got Oaklawn, Gulfstream, Aqueduct, and Santa Anita. So we'll take some picks from you, and thank you very much for your winner yesterday on the show.
He got a terrific ride. He wanted no part of the rail. The jock took back and circled, and I think that's what made the difference.
John, did you see that race?
I did, yes.
You know, I texted Jonathan right away. I said, here's where a jockey, the horse was down on the rail, and the jockey felt that, listen, this horse is not responding to me on the rail because there were 2 horses outside of him. So he eased on back, got to the outside, waited for the front horses to soften each other up a bit, and then came right around and won easily. That, I believe, it was much as the jockey winning that race as the horse.
Oh, absolutely made the difference. Yeah, if he stays inside, then they're going to all go ahead and head in that far turn, and they probably flatten out in the lane. And he didn't steady. He just kind of eased that horse out. Yeah. Really, really good ride.
Yeah, he sensed that this horse was not working well on the rail.
Not responding to the inside.
No.
Correct.
Okay. We had a claustrophobic horse, but a jockey who knew that, so we were all right. All right, what are we doing here?
Let's go to Aqueduct, look at race number 9, a mile on the main track, and we have a bad scratch in there. Unfortunately, they scratched the morning line favorite, the 4 points is points, but I still like the number 2 horse in here, Grammy Girl, a 4-year-old filly from the Horatio de Paz barn, Kendrick Carmouche aboard to ride. He rode this horse last time out when she won. Stretches out to a mile today. She's listed at 9-2 on the morning line. I would expect a little shorter than that with the late scratch of the favorite. But I like number 2, Grammy Girl, to win today's 9th race out at Aqueduct.
All right, 9th race Aqueduct, number 2, Grammy Girl. Grammy Girl, the 2 horse in the 9th, Jonathan Hardoon's pick. Let's go to Gulfstream next.
Gulfstream, 11th race. I love the number 2 horse in here, Pleasant Embrace, a 4-year-old filly from the Kelly Breen barn. This horse is really in top form. I mean, she's 5-for-10 lifetime. She never runs a bad race. She has a win over Gulfstream. She's worked very well since her last race. Joel Rosario board to ride, 3-1 on the morning line. Pick 5, pick 4, pick 3 single in today's 11th race out at Gulfstream.
All right, just pick them right to it. Number 11, race number 11, number 2, Pleasant Embrace, the 2, Pleasant Embrace, the 11th race today at Gulfstream, Jonathan's pick. And Jonathan, your third pick was the Virginia Derby, the Colonial Downs today, the 7-horse Rapture, right?
Correct. I didn't know what to do with Santa Anita because I don't know if they're on the turf, off the turf, so I can't get an answer from anywhere, so I avoided it for the radio.
You know, you're right there. And, John, you've been trying to check with Santa Anita right now to find out, right? You've been
right. I haven't gotten any word yet. Usually they'll look about 7 o'clock, but I haven't seen anything. If I get something for the end of the show, obviously sure. We'll pass it on.
And you're a gambler. What do you think, on off?
Honestly, 50-50. I saw that for the National Horse Player Championship, they did not use the Santa Anita race as a mandatory race, which is unusual.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that they're leery that the grass races are coming off. So
they're leery there, too.
Yeah, that kind of tells me maybe they don't stay on the turf today.
No. Okay. Hey, Jonathan.
I think you're right. You're right about that. That's a good point.
All right, Jonathan, thanks a lot the show this morning, and all those sheets are available at your website, right?
JONHARDOON.com. Thank you, guys. Stay safe. Be well. We'll talk tomorrow.
All right. You got it.
I got an update just now. Santa, we are on the turf today as scheduled. Turf will be rated good. So just came in.
It just came in at Santa Anita. Let's, Jonathan, let's get, can we get Jonathan back here real quick? All right, Jonathan, with that in mind, do you have anything at Santa Anita you're going to pass anyhow?
No.
Okay.
No, we're off. Thanks, Ralph.
I just thought I'd weasel another one out of you. That's all. I'm working for my audience here. Hey, thanks a lot, Jonathan. All right. We'll be right back, folks. And when we come back, we'll get John Lendo's picks and Jerry Jackowitz down the road. And so don't go away. We got more left. Don't go away.
Here we are in Houston, opening up our first veteran village. This beautiful building that is going to house 161 homeless veterans. Any veteran that risks their lives and they're struggling with PTSD, mental illness, addiction. We're also building what I call comfort homes, 500 square foot homes. These are for older homeless veterans, so they have their own space and give them back some of their dignity, some of their independence, and most certainly give them back their life. Go to T2T.org to learn how you can change a veteran's life forever.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas's top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grandview Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show. Every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grandview Lounge, The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grandview Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our 7 specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
All right, back here at Race Day Las Vegas. I would have to say a chilly morning here.
A little cool in here. Even in the studio, it's a little cool.
Yeah, well, there's always
cold. I'm not complaining.
It's always cold in here, which is great in the summertime, but because of, you know, the equipment and all that. Anyhow, all right, so we got your thoughts about the Colonial Downs, the Virginia Derby and the Virginia Oaks, but we're looking for some picks from you today. By the way, the Linda Report that covers all the races today at Santa Anita, the picks, a suggested late pick 4, and a coast-to-coast pick 5 at the Santa Anita Bet and Gulfstream Bet, the coast-to-coast pick 5 as well, right? You got it all on your comprehensive.
Yeah, and both of my picks are in the coast-to-coast pick 5 today, so that'll be part of that. I'm going to go, first of all, to Gulfstream Park, race number 10. Mm-hmm. In the 10th race, number 1, moving on up, comes off the layoff for Safi Joseph. This is a horse that runs very well fresh. Mm-hmm. Gets a rider switch to Safi's go-to rider, Edgar Zayas. Good work tab, rail post, and a big field, save ground into that first turn. 9-2 in the program. Expect number 1, moving on up, to come out running in race 10 today at Gulfstream Park.
So moving on up from the rail, you figure will have enough speed to get a position and not get trapped down there and then have a perfect shot at the top of the stretch.
I think, yeah, it just falls into the pocket, I think, knock on wood, and a little bit of racing luck, and 9-2 is a fair price.
Yeah, and that's the 10th race on the turf at Gulfstream Park, the 10th race, number 1, moving on up. We have no reason to believe that it's going to come off the turf, but if it does, same deal?
No, just turf only.
Turf only. It'll be on the turf. Yep. Not a problem there. 10th race, the 1. Moving on up in the 10th race at Gulfstream Park. Well, we can go to Santa Anita now. Now, Santa Anita, as we know, as they said, as you got the late text right now, they are staying on the turf. But as we know, they can change it at any time. So right now, they're on the turf, and that's the way we'll look at it. And an unusual, you talk about highs and their suspensions, an unusual one. A jockey got suspended and got a fine of $300 at Santa Anita for hitting a horse with his goggles. Please explain.
Adrian Castellanos, the Northern California jock, I think he lost his stick in the stretch.
Yeah.
So, you know, being the innovative guys that they are out there sometimes, and I've seen it happen before. I think Alex Solis did that before. He pulled the goggles off his helmet and used that to try and inspire the horse down the stretch a little bit. Not under the HESA rules, so he picked up a fine at $300. But I started laughing when I read it. You can't, you know, he was trying. You got to give him that.
The goggles are made out of light plastic.
Well, we're talking about Nerf whips.
There's no way it could have hurt a horse.
No, no.
Okay. Just when you've seen everything, folks, you haven't. In any case, so Flavian Pratt is at the Colonial, we know. Ired Ortiz Jr., Javier Castellano, and John Velasquez, they're all at Colonial Downs today, right?
Right. They're all out from Gulfstream out to Colonial, right.
All right. What are we doing at Santa Anita?
7th race at Santa Anita is the last leg of the Coast to Coast Pick 5. And I'm going to single number 8, Hermelinda's Fancy. This is a horse that last time from the rail did not have a good trip. Very important, gets a nice post switch from post 1 to post 8. But better yet, drops from an open claiming race to one of these Northern California restricted races. And that's a big class move right now at Santa Anita. Mm-hmm. Class drop, better post, good tactical speed from there. At 4-1 on the program, not the favorite. It'd be a nice way to cap off the Coast to Coast Pick 5, number 8, Hermelinda's Fancy, race 7, Santa Anita.
That is the last race in the Coast to Coast Pick 5 in the 7th race, and in your suggestion as well, that's a single on the Coast to Coast Pick 5 suggestion as well.
Right. Allows me to spread a little bit and try and get there.
And it's also a singleton in your suggested late pick 4, so a lot riding on this horse. Okay, 7th race, number 8, Hermelinda's Fancy, the 8 in the 7th race. And as we noted, a lot of the horses, a lot of the races that are written for those horses from Northern California, you find one or two horses that really stand out. They become the favorites, but they're winning at a big rate.
They're winning an awful lot. I think way over 50%.
Yeah, and that adds to the high favorite
exactly.
Percentages there at Santa Anita.
That you love so much.
Yes, right. In the 7th race, number 8, Hermelinda's Fancy, the 8 in the 7th race at Santa Anita. Don't forget, John Lindo's Linda Report, the comprehensive report for all the picks, all the goody information we talk about, the coast-to-coast pick 5 and a suggested late pick 4, all on one comprehensive sheet, only one place here in Las Vegas, and that is at the South Point Racebook right here, free of charge, complimentary, because they love horse players. All righty. And by the way, just a real, I want to get to Jerry, but I got about 30 seconds. Why don't you Do we have an update on who's leading at the tournament there, the horse players tournament?
Yes, a Chicago man, Dan Piazza, who's a financial management advisor. Well, he's got a little bit of money. Mm-hmm. They had 16 plays yesterday. He had 9 winners.
Wow.
Total mutuals 167.22. So he is the leader. And the breakage makes a difference, Ralph. He had a place bet at Turfway Park last night. He won the first day by 4 cents.
Oh.
So he picked up some cash and a ticket into the Breeders' Cup betting challenge.
The penny breakage meant a lot to him. Now let's go out to a man who was always looking for the best breakage, and that is Jerry Jackowitz. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Well,
4 cents, really? Wow.
4 cents, because they go down to a penny breakage payoff in Kentucky. What a great story.
Why not?
That's a great story. We always get great stories out of that tournament, and this is the first of, I'm sure, many more between today and tomorrow as well. Well, Jared, did you have a thought or two at all about the Virginia Derby?
No, I don't.
Okay, didn't think you would. But in any case, we'll take your picks for today, and I guess we'll go to Aqueduct first, don't you think?
Yeah, let's go to Aqueduct. Should be a lovely day. Let's go to the sixth race. Horse I love, number 2, Flat Out Flying. I like to opine. I'm sure John's the same way. You get these old, you know, particularly this time of year, in the early part of the year, you get an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old really feeling good. And, I mean, you know, they've been racing forever. Here we have Flat Out Flying, the 2-horse, a 9-year-old. Just the last 2 races just show he's loving racing. He's really into it. He's going great. And Robert Trost has him, and he moves him up in class again. And I expect he's going to romp again. I love the 2. He's 3-1. It's a very small field. I'm going to play 1 exacta, 2-4 to make money, 4-2 to break even.
All right. So with the 2 late scratches in the race as well, you like the 2 Flat Out Flying, a horse that'll make all of us senior citizens feel really good if he wins. And that is the 2 horse, Flat Out Flying. Chris Elliott aboard there, the 2-1 punch with an exacta, and that's with the 4, the 2-4. And the 4-2, just a little to break even in the race. The 2 is your key in the 6th at Aqueduct. What about Santa Anita?
I'm going to go to the first. I don't know. Does this sound like anybody we know? Hothead in the first?
It sounds like a lot
who
of people.
Who would get
we
that
know. Yeah, a lot of people we know, that's for sure.
Yeah, this is a Mark Ladd horse. I talk about form all the time, but this, I mean, the form on the horse is okay, but this horse just runs higher speed figures than all the other horses. And the trainer he's fantastic. We have a top trainer with high speed figures. Current form's okay. No knocks. 3-1, 7-2.
Did you give us the trainer's name?
Yeah, Mark Ladd.
Mark Ladd, okay. So that's Mark Ladd, I think he's the leading trainer right now.
He's the leading trainer going into this week, yeah.
All right, so the first race, by the way, folks, 1:00 Pacific time, first race post time. We get a single in the early pick 5. Jerry likes the 7, Hothead. And if he doesn't win, we'll be hot at him. But in any case, in the first race, the 7. You got any link-ups?
Yeah, I'm playing with the 2, 4, 6, and 8.
Okay. Oh, easy to remember there, 2, 4, 6, 8. Okay, so in the first race, you like the 7, Hothead. The link-ups are 2, 4, 6, 8, and reverse, the 7, Hothead. One of your feature plays on your sheet, by the way, in the first race. And again, 1:00 post time there for the 7, Hothead. 7-2 on the morning line. What are you going to take it down to?
Well, I would go down to maybe 8-5 here. I like the play an awful lot. I think he's the right horse. I will say this. I don't really know that I would mess around with it and really in pick 5. It's just such a good key horse in the first race.
Well, you know,
there's plenty of money to be made second. We have 3 first-time starters. Nobody knows how good they are for sure. I mean, somebody does.
I fully understand your philosophy there. What I'm saying is the people who bet pick 5s might use this as a singleton. We know you want to grab the money out of the race. And by the way, so do I. So that's fine anyhow. Hey,
we want to thank
our handicappers for that. John, well, thank you for being in the studio. Hopefully we might be able to drag it back for tomorrow. Maybe?
No, I'm on the road tomorrow morning, I'll do it by remote.
Okay, you'll do it by remote. But it's always always a pleasure.
See you, John.
It's fun to have you here in studio, that's for sure. Let's get out to the races today, folks, and have some fun. In the meantime, Jerry always says the last thing, and he's saying it now.
Have a great race day, everybody.